FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk ass from the right called me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Oh,
you're much.
Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I got a little bit.
Insult to your people. It's an insult to your people. It's like the N word for us. Wow. Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah.
Chris Cuomo going sideways on somebody who came up to him on the street in New York and called him Fredo, which I'd never heard that word before, ever, and apparently it's some sort of ethnic slur for Italian Americans.
That last part where he says you're a much more reasonable guy in person than you are on television is maybe my favorite part.
He threatened to throw the guy down the steps.
He did.
He sure did.
Play that, and then we'll go to Chris.
I don't have a problem with you, man.
You're going to have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll throw you down these stairs like a punk.
Please do.
So you can sue?
Well, why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. Oh, you want to call me Fredo? Take a swing.
Wow. Chef!
Can you pick it?
Mark Cox.
What's going on, Chris Arps? What do you think about Andrew Cuomo and getting so hot about that?
As a Godfather movie aficionado,
who has
seen the movies probably 100 times, I have the commemorative box set.
Do you really?
Yes, as an Italian person, to be called Fredo is an insult. Fredo was the older brother who was passed over, and Michael ran the crime family, and Michael eventually had to have Fredo murdered because he turned on him. You remember that famous scene?
I don't.
No.
I've seen it years ago. I've seen both of them, but it's been too long.
Fredo wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Okay.
So that's why Mr. Cuomo was offended by that.
You know, maybe you get offended if somebody refers to you as the nickname of somebody in a movie who was, you know, not the smart one.
Right.
Like Spicoli or somebody like that. But is it the equivalent of the N-word?
No, that's totally out of context. But yes, Fredo was not the intelligent brother in the Corleone crime family. And as I said, Michael had him murdered. I don't want to give the 40-year-old movie plot away, but I think it's close to 50 years
now.
I almost made
a spoiler alert joke, but yeah. we discussed earlier. Yeah. It came out in 72.
The movie's 50 years old now, but I don't want to give a spoiler alert.
One of the parody Twitter accounts I follow is Sean Spicier, it's called. and he tweeted out after seeing this, "I'd be much more offended if somebody thought I was a Cuomo than a Fredo." That was pretty good. That was pretty good. You can help me settle a dispute this morning, Chris Arps.
Uh-oh.
Because being a man and all, I want your input on this.
A manly man.
For heaven's sakes.
So for my 40th birthday, I went to Cancun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went on a deep sea fishing trip. I took my then 6-year-old son with me, and I caught a sailfish.
Okay.
Which was, at the time, they hadn't caught any in a while. They were acting like it was a big deal. So they talked me into getting the thing mounted.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid a couple $100 down. They shipped it off to Florida. It took them a while. They finally, it must cost me $1,200 by the time they got to my house. And my wife's horrified by it. It's just big, right? Just big. I've always wanted to hang it over the fireplace. She's never agreed to that. And technically, I'd have to almost cut a little bit off of it to get it to fit up there because it's big.
You probably knew these things before you actually paid to have this thing mounted.
No, I didn't.
That your wife would not want it mounted over the fireplace?
Yeah.
You knew this.
Yeah.
Why? That's cool.
He for sure knew that. Who?
The girls are looking at me horrified. Anyway,
cool.
Long story short.
This is why God made basements.
It's been commissioned to my basement. Mm-hmm. It now hangs on the wall in the TV room in the basement. And my son.
The good old man cave.
Goes back to Mizzou today. And he came up with the brilliant idea last night. He was apparently on Facebook Live, not Facebook Live. He was live on his phone with his friend who's going to be his roommate, and
FaceTime.
Over his shoulder, yeah, FaceTime, that's the word.
Gotcha.
He saw the fish and he's like, "Dude, you got to bring that fish to our apartment in Columbia." And I'm like, "No, I paid a lot of money for that fish. I don't want it to be taken to college and abused. Lord knows what'll happen to my fish if it's down there."
And I don't blame
it
you.
It might have a drink or two.
Yeah.
And let
exactly.
It's probably thirsty after all these years of hanging on the wall.
And, you know, I'm going to indulge you, Mark. How long did it take you to wheel that thing in? About 10, 12 hours?
took a long time.
Right?
See what you did there.
Yeah.
So you don't want to, some fish, it took you 10 hours to reel in. You don't want to go into a college dorm and then it comes back at the end of the semester looking entirely different.
I don't think it'll look the same when it comes back. It's going to be hydrated.
A mustache and a hat on it, probably.
Here's the most important question. What does the missus say?
The missus sees this as a golden opportunity to get the darn fish out of her house.
Yeah.
So she's all over it.
I'm with her 100%.
See, as a Texan, Mark, what we do, what we put over the fireplaces are Texas Longhorn steers.
No.
True.
Got to put some horns on.
You have, no, wait a minute, wait a minute.
What's wrong with you guys?
Becky Arps lets you have, do you have one of those over your fireplace?
My parents had one.
No, I'm not asking about you.
No.
You know, that's never really come up in our discussions. So, Becky, can we have a Texan steer?
Yes or no?
Arps,
how do you vote?
Chris.
I know how these two vote. Yes or
the
no? Does he take the fish? Or yes or no?
Heck no.
All right.
Let him take the fish.
Let him take the fish.
I love you, Brad.
No, man.
I think the election was stolen from the people of Georgia. I don't know that empirically I would have won, but if you add together the thousands of people who faced extraordinarily long lines, who faced hurdles that should not happen in a democracy, the votes that we know were not counted, the Secretary of State, who was also my opponent in the race, purged more than 1.4 million voters over basically an 8-year period.
It must really suck to be that dumb.
Stacey Abrams, former Georgia gubernatorial candidate, still trying to excuse away her loss because she lost to an arch conservative in the state of Georgia. That because he used to be Secretary of State, he must have cheated somehow because he purged the rolls of people who didn't vote anymore. That this is like the whole voter ID law thing that I don't understand. If somebody's on the voter rolls and they haven't voted in 6 years or 10 years or whatever the level you set it at, and you go in and you clean all that off there like they have in Ohio, how is that disenfranchising anyone? It's not. There are a number of states in this country that have more registered voters on the rolls than they have people living there. There are cities and states around the country where they have more people registered to vote than they have citizens.
We have counties in Missouri that are like that.
Yeah.
That came out a few years ago.
What's the deal with Abrams? I mean, either run for national office or shut the hell up. I'm tired of listening to
it. I've never understood the argument that it is discriminatory or you're disenfranchising voters because there are long lines. I mean, if it's a popular election or a presidential election, you expect to be long lines. You can't have a voting booth for every single person. If voting is important to you, then you wait in line like it's been done for generations. I've never understood that argument that waiting in long lines is somehow disenfranchising people. If you don't think your vote is important enough to wait and you just leave, that's on you. That's not discrimination.
Yeah. No, I agree. I remember in 2016... I showed up to vote. I tried to get down to the place at, I guess the polls open at 7?
Six.
And I got there about 5:45, and the line was already wrapped around the building at my polling place.
Yeah. I remember I was working at the St. Louis County Election Board in 2000, and that was just an experience I will never forget. We probably had like 80 phone lines in the office, and it was so busy that day that when your phone rang and you talked to someone and you hung it up, it instantly rang again.
It rang
again.
And
it was like that all day. I mean, we had people waiting outside in lines, even after the polls closed. That was the infamous incident where Lacey Clay got a judge to keep the polls open.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You got to have some pull to do that.
Be a congressman helps. have a judge that your president appointed to the bench.
Hans von Spakovsky was on yesterday, and he mentioned that there'd recently been a court victory. Mm-hmm. Was it Nebraska? It was one of the Midwestern states where the court upheld their voter ID law. It bodes well for Missouri because I know Missouri's is being challenged right now as well. But it basically said you're not asking too much, particularly in a case where apparently 99.5% of the people already had the ID they would need to go vote. And they were talking about 0.5% that might have to go have somebody drive them somewhere to pick up the picture ID they would need to vote.
And here's the dirty little secret that they don't tell you, is that in all states that voter ID has been implemented, black turnout actually goes up.
Really?
Yes, because it's stressed to the community, hey, get an ID. You can't vote without an ID. We need to do this, becomes a cause. And black turnout actually goes up in states that have voter ID. So it's actually, if it was meant to turn down black turnout, it's had the exact opposite, because it's gotten people registered to go vote.
Sure, sure.
So it backfired.
Speaking of backfires, let's talk about Steve Stinger for a minute. Whoa. I don't think you haven't been in here since he got sentenced on Friday.
I have not.
My reaction to that is in the midst of this whole discussion of whether or not Rod Blagojevich should have his sentence commuted. Mm-hmm. I know one was a governor, one was only a county executive, but it's still public corruption in which there were wiretaps and obvious evidence of taking bribes to affect government policy. And I think Blagojevich had an additional charge or two in addition to just trying to sell the Senate seat. But he's been in jail for 7 years now, Blagojevich has, and Steve Stinger is going to be free in less than 4 years. I mean, I'm not sure I see any equivalency there. Do you have any feeling on that?
You know, I never looked at it that way, but I guess looting St. Louis County government is kind of a local state thing, and I guess trying to sell a Senate seat is federal.
But they were both federal charges. I mean, they both went through the federal courts. I mean, U.S. Attorney Hal Goldsmith was the one that brought the charges here locally, and he was clearly charged in federal court in Illinois. I'm just telling
you. You want to get together and do a free Blagojevich kind of campaign?
You know, I don't know that I'm in favor of freeing Blagojevich, but he didn't have any priors, and I guess under sentencing guidelines, they gave Stinger all that they could give him, which was 46 months. I wouldn't be opposed to Stinger getting a few more years than that, but
I'd like to see Rod Blagojevich get out, because I'm just curious to see what his hair looks like. He didn't have access to dye while in prison, and I'd like to see what that coif looks like.
You've got to see the picture.
It's shock white. Denise looked it up the other day.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah. That's true.
That's my reasons for getting him out, letting him out. Let's see what his hair looks like.
So there's a story out today, I don't know if it was in The Hill or not, that, and this isn't something you hear a lot about, but apparently the president was on the verge of commuting Blagojevich's sentence and backed off out of fear of that the public would not respond well to it for some reason. They must have gotten some indication that people were going to be unhappy. He wasn't going to pardon him. He was just going to commute his sentence to time served, so he doesn't have to be in there for however many more years he's got.
Yeah, there was word that he made it like all the way to processing or something, that they were like actively like...
Rod was halfway out of the jail when he changed his mind?
That's what Fox News was reporting, and they were saying sources, so they're like, just take it for what it is. This isn't confirmed yet. But they were saying that he had already gotten to the processing part, and they were like, never mind, you're going back. Like,
or it could be a brilliant ploy by the president to just try to get the media and the public off his latest... controversy, which was the racism thing, and maybe he just threw that out as a trial balloon. And because I can't really see Donald Trump really caring about what people think or the media. If he decides he wants to do something controversial, he has a history
of
just doing it. Joe Arpaio is kind of controversial, and he said, "What the hell?"
He put him in pink prison outfits. Is what Joe Arpaio did. Yeah,
and we met him.
We did.
He's a very low-key guy. He doesn't get very excited.
Not only that, but he also doesn't change his story just because it's not politically popular. Yes. He stood up at the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner and even brought up the birther thing again because he sent the investigators out to look into that birth certificate in Hawaii. Chris, can you hang around?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me get to a break. We'll get back here in just a minute. 314-241-9797. We'll get to Charles here on line one, who's taking issue with Republicans trying to tamp down the vote We'll be right back. All right. Let me get to Charles here on line one. Charles, good morning. You're on with Mark and Chris.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Good morning.
I'm up early today.
Yes, you are.
Hey, what did you say that was after what length of time do they take their names out?
Well, it's different in every state. I think Ohio it was 6 years or a certain number of election cycles in which they had not voted.
Okay, I can understand them doing that to keep their roles in order and that those people live there or whatever. And 6 years seems like a reasonable amount of time. But take that along with the suppression that's happened in other states like Kansas, for example, moved the polling place 75 miles away from the Indian reservation. They don't have any transportation, so they can't get the vote. Then they got you got to have an address. You can't have a post office box. And most of the Indians have post office box. Most of the Indians vote Democratic, so they got a law to get take care of that. There's been suppression across the country for keeping votership down. And, you know, I'm just mentioning when you lump that all in, I didn't hear what the timeline was. That 6 years is not as bad. I thought it was after a year or something they take them out, which I don't think they should do.
No, I think you'd have to go back at least one presidential election cycle, and then combined with other local elections, you can reach the conclusion at some point that either somebody's moved or they're no longer interested in voting, and then if they want to reapply to vote, they certainly have that option. Nobody's stopping them from doing that.
Yeah, no.
Chris,
no,
any thoughts on this?
Yeah, and when I worked at the election board, I think they even send out notices to them. To see if the address is still good or whatever. So it's not just, hey, you haven't voted, boom, you're out, you're off the roll.
Yeah, I don't see an advantage, and I'm sure Chris can speak to that as a political analyst, to ever have a strategy of trying to suppress votes by denying people the right to go to the polls.
Or be that obvious, my God.
Or be that obvious right?
To move the plant, move the poll 75 miles away from the Indian reservation? Yeah. Come on. Charles.
Yeah, well, what do you mean? They can't get there. They can't get to the voting stations. They don't have automobiles.
Charles, that would be that would be national, international news if a Secretary of State moved a polling place from an Indian reservation 75 miles away. I just find that hard to believe.
Well, you research it. They did it. They did it. The Republicans wrote a law, and they did it in Kansas. You know, there's definitely suppression.
Well, Charles, why do we have to prove your facts?
Well, you don't have to prove it. I don't care if you prove it or not. I read it. I believe it.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me what you do.
I'm just telling
you that the Republicans suppress votes, you can make all the phony baloney things you want to come up with why I should prove it. But I'm just telling you that's the way it is.
Charles, I appreciate the call.
Angry.
Thank you.
I like calling you, man.
Well, I appreciate you. I do. I don't hear from you much. You don't get up early enough these days.
Well, I know. I'm retired. I take it easy.
I'm with you. I'd be sleeping too if I didn't have to get up. See you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that.
What we have here is a crisis.
Yeah, I'm not sure that. First of all, aren't Indian reservations federal land?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that the Republicans are controlling the votes inside of the state of Kansas, right?
And I don't mean this as a slight or anything, but how many Native Americans are there in Kansas to make that much of a difference to want to suppress their vote to affect the election?
I still can't imagine that somebody wouldn't have been screaming loudly about that had it actually happened.
It seems like something that is probably Donald Trump's fault.
I think it's the Russians.
Russians. Well, he is in the pocket.
Yeah, that's
the Russians.
About that.
Yeah.
It's the Russians.
You know what? Let me mention here while I got time. Go to the website. Did you see that great story yesterday in Chesterfield of the police officers who showed up and walked that little boy to school? In full honesty, the police officer involved is married to my wife's cousin. Great guy, Andy. Had to go through cancer treatment. Wanted his kid walked to school. A bunch of his buddies showed up to help with it. They have a GoFundMe page to help the family out. It's up on my Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook. Go check it out. Help them if you can. They could really use it. That's fantastic. Chris, thanks.
Thanks.
We'll see you in the morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.